What? Good. Sonny, it's good that you get to spend the time together. It's always good when you get a couple of brothers together. Too bad brother Dermot couldn't make it, but he's carrying his cross. Once he overcomes this, he's going to come out of it stronger. It always happens that way. There's always benefits when you get sick. I mean, it's not good when you're going through it, but like when you come out of it, God gives you a reward. But one thing for sure, you get graces. But when you're sick, you know, you're laid up, man. See, depending on how sick you are, sometimes you can hardly do anything. You just sit there and suffer. You know, especially somebody who wants, like Brother Dermot, he wants to get a lot of the videos done. Me, I got a lot of work done. And when that happens to me, I just got to sit there and go, I'm out, man. I got to wait to recover, you know. And then when you recover, you feel, you know, when you get better again. You know, every day you wake up, you should thank God for your health. Yeah, it's a true statement that even my pagan parents used to say, even though they were pagans. Don't believe that they were Catholic, they were pagans. But anyway, they would say, thank God that you have your eyes, Bruce, that he has one eyeball, he's going to get another one next week, that you have ears to hear, and that you're healthy. And Brother Bruno, he suffers. Some people suffer more than others. So you get grace for it. Our prayer always is that God doesn't let it overwhelm you, because you can get to that point. You know, you can say, I feel like I might be dying here. Yeah. And then you go, if I'm dying, please, I hope I'm in a state of grace. Please, God, I hope I'm in a state of grace.
Yeah.
Don't let me die unless I'm in a state of grace. If I did something wrong, let me know what it is. What did I do wrong? These are all good things, like Aaron on his deathbed. Remember Aaron?
Yeah.
And Moses on his deathbed? Moses, do you think God will forgive us? Forgive me, he said, forgive me. And he says, surely he already has. To give him confidence, because especially when you're sick, the devil. So it shows you how weak we are too, and especially. Believe me, there's a lot of graces you get from suffering. That's all I'm saying. As long as you carry the cross, you offer it up. You're getting a lot of grace, and it doesn't overwhelm you. You get a lot of grace for it, and you come out on the other end. On the other end, you come out either dead or stronger. And if you're dead and you're in a state of grace. Right?
Yeah.
If you're in a state of grace, you know, like St. Stephen when he was preaching to the Jews, and they started to stone him, and he looked up, and Christ said, "You're going to be up here right away." He's going like, "Wow, throw the stones, man. I'm ready to go. Throw the stones. This is my ticket to heaven." Think about that. The ticket to heaven. Preaching. Willing to die for Christ. And if you're not willing to die with Christ, that's your ticket to hell. Yeah. Which ticket will you choose? Which path will you choose, Patrick? It's nothing but a life of poverty and obedience. Yeah. Patrick, how can you choose the religious life? It's nothing but a life of poverty and obedience. By the way, I made a lot of money when you were gone.
My wealth has increased.
Typical, right?
Yeah. You're either going to be the hammer or the or the die.
Yeah. Gee. Anyway. Let's see. Anyway, I'm going to post it up next week, probably tomorrow even, but Brother Sal made a cameo in my lecture. I put his picture of him shooting the javelina, the dead javelini. I mentioned it in there. I just wanted to show people to scare him a little bit. You know, you come on here, next it'll be you, not a javelina. Yeah. You know what I mean? We got guns over here. If we didn't have guns, we'd have knives. If we didn't have knives, we got our hands. I'll choke you to death. I'll poke your eyeballs out with my fingers. I'll grow my nails real long so I can dig into your jugular vein, all right? It's funny because they had the 250-year anniversary of the Marines. I like old military guys. I'm not saying they're good. And like Brother Alex will testify to you, they're like pagans, you know. They got a lot of things wrong with them. But as far as fighting and manliness and fighting, okay, you know. That's why I never mock soldiers. You can condemn them for being like pagans, but as far as their soldiery aspect of fighting and willing to die and obedience, there's a lot to be said about that. But they were praising Marines like they're the best that ever exists in the whole world. They go crazy. But one thing about this Trump, at least, he is straightening out the military, which needs to be done. He is doing that. This guy Hegseth, the only thing is they're not getting rid of the homos. They're getting rid of the transgenders, though. And they're not talking too much about the homos, because you got to get rid of them, because that's going to demoralize people. But they are toughening up the Marines. They're making the standards very high now. They used to lower the standards so the women could stay in the Marines. So instead of doing like maybe 50 pull-ups, you got to do maybe like only 10 now. So he says, no, we're going back to the standards. Drill sergeants cannot lay their hands on you. So there's a lot of good stuff happening there, but which is good. But they were, you know, they praised the United States Marines like they're the best, and they were a good fighting force. But like the best in history of mankind, no one's going to defeat us. We're going to go on. We're going to win all these battles. I said, boy, you guys are going to be humbled. Because first of all, it's not a godly Marine force. You know, you can say you have people different religions in there, but Brother Sal Alex can testify. And we got movies on it about these Marines were they're like pagans. I mean, but they're not all of them, okay? So I don't want to condemn every Marine. But some of the stuff they put you through is kind of weird. But, like, the good movie we have, if you want to see what the Marines were like, is The Pacific. We have it on our hard drive. It's really a good one, really excellent. And Brother Alex was a mortar man. He used to shoot the mortars at people, and they would get mortified. A couple of mortars in the pit, that'll mortify you, you know? If it's in a pit, you're dead. You don't got a chance to be mortified. If it's close, then you get mortified. Then they say, adjust. Bang! Right in the head, you're done. Anyway, the mortar man's not to be underestimated. You had a 60-millimeter mortars, right? Because you can carry them around. 80s were a little bigger. Did you ever shoot any 80s?
A couple times.
Did you have, you can't carry those around too easy. Where
they may just carry them a couple times.
Yeah, because they're not real, yeah.
They're pretty heavy.
The bigger ones were the 120s.
Yeah, can't carry those.
U-120s. We when I played the military games, they seem like and the 60s to me are like pea shooters. But I mean, if you hit the 60 in the right, you know, in the right spot, it would get you. But anyway, we're talking about the Marine thing, the spirits lifted up before the fall. you know? Like, but they mentioned one guy, because the Navy, the Marines are part of the Navy, if you guys didn't know that. You have the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. The Marines are attached to the Navy. They're the people that were on the ships, then they will go ashore, and they will be the assault group. And the Navy would be the ones that carry them, and they carry out the naval operations. And you see that in Master and Commander, where they had the guys that were to swoop down and fight. And with the Marines, now something back was going to say to the Marines. Anyway, they were the fighting force. But so he's talking about all the victories they had. And I think there's, another thing. They had a guy, they have also fighter jets. Marines, right? Was it Marines or also and the Navy, I think. Yeah. So if you watch Top Gun, those guys, well, he wasn't a Marine, though. He was a Navy fighter pilot, or was he a Marine and Top Gun?
Navy.
So you had Navy fighter pilots and Marine fighter pilots. Well, anyway, they were talking about this one Marine fighter pilot guy that went up against 7 Russian MiGs, and he shot down 4. And they said that was a modern-day record. Now, that looks like that's a Top Gun. I didn't know it really happened. You know, like, when did that happen? How come there was no war over it? I want to study that, by the way. Yeah. But he just mentioned it a couple of days ago. The guy was there, too. And he's like, he was getting ready to get up and speak, but I was watching a football game in between. So whoever this guy was, he went up against 7 Russian MiGs, shot down 4. So, whatever. You seen Top Gun, that's true. A lot of that's, and that's based off, I mean, it's not, actually true in every detail, but it's similar to what happened in real life. But this guy, I don't know who he is. I have to find out, but it'd be interesting, you know. Anyway, I got a lot of respect for military people and soldiers and boxers and fighters, and we went over that many times. And how many times do you read the martyrology? Who were the number one people in martyrology?
Soldiers.
That were martyrs. Number one, soldiers. And I still say, bad as they are, born from your mother, bad and evil as you are, because you're not a coward. I think we're going to get more hope converting soldiers and sports where you got to do physical stuff like boxing, MMA, because they're not cowards. I went over that many times. And they have to be obedient. There's a lot of things involved with that soldiery thing. But I don't know, J.D. Vance was a Marine. I didn't know that, but I think Brother Alex told me he was a
photojournalist.
He played he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you he was a photojournalist Marine.
Yeah.
I was a Marine. He's talking about, we talk about the East Coast Marines, the West Coast. He's talking about, like, he's a tough guy, right? But he's a photojournalist Marine. You know. No, you got all different. You need logistics. You need supply line Marines, like Brother Alex will tell you. Marines aren't just fighting Marines. You got to have other Marines taking care of the logistics, bringing up the supplies, the food, and all that. One guy said, "Well, I fought. I was in the Marine World War II. I was in World War II. What'd you guys do? I was the chef. I mean, I cooked. I was the cook." I'm not mocking them, though, because you need them. They say beans and bullets. That's what they tell you. The Army operates on beans and bullets, food and ammo. You got ammo and no food, your guys are dead. You got food and no ammo, your guys are dead. What is it good to have a rifle with no ammo? You know, it's really, operating a war is a tremendously logistical feat. It's like a science. You look at, even in the old days, when we're looking at the Rome movie, you look at the, when they were marching with these armies, and you saw it in the Rome movie when Brutus is saying, I got to feed all these people 3 times a day. And we got like, I don't know if you got like 20, 40,000, 50,000 people in your marching army. You got to feed them. You got to arm them.
Where are the grain provisioning figures? This can't be right.
Talking with the men, they had no idea Greece was so large, and they're sick of the endless marching you put us through. Yeah. We were plotting our revenge.
We must find good ground.
They're quite an amiable lot, really, when you get to know them.
Ravening
pot-bellied horse, scum. Except they fight as well as eat.
Well, if you will bury your nose in quartermaster's accounts, you must expect to be gloomy. Now, look up, Cassius. Look around. Is it not wonderful?
I see only 100,000 mouths to feed.
You have no poetry in you, Cassius. We ride with these men to save the Republic.
Yeah, well, sorry to be prosaic. Before we do any saving of Republics, we have Octavian to defeat.
Indeed. Ha!
But this was something else I was thinking, too, today. I was talking to Sister Catherine about this a little earlier, but I forget what brought this up to my mind, but I was something about killing people. All right? You know, about seeing dead people. I mean, seeing dead people. I mean, seeing them get killed. Right? We don't see that no more. It's nice to see a few people get killed every now and then. I mean, really get killed. Look, in the old days when they had wars, it was right out in the open. You're killing people hand to hand and all that, right? They used to do capital punishment on TV. You hang the bastard. Everyone shows up in the public square and the bastard gets, the evildoer gets hung. Or he gets burned at the stake. Even the Marine, one of the Marine guys was saying, it was good. He's going, we fight, we win. When we meet the enemy, we take our bayonets and stab him in her heart.
We're warriors. That's all that we do. We are America's crisis response force. We're the 911 force. We're the people who go out the door at zero dark 30. To get our mission done, to accomplish it on behalf of the American people, to stick a bayonet in the heart of our adversaries.
I like that. You see, now, if it was a Democrat-controlled thing, they wouldn't say that, because he'd be in trouble, by the way. He'd say, you know, you just got a whole bunch of kids with PSDT. You know, he'd say, you said, he goes, and we meet the enemy, we look him in the eye with the bayonet, and we stab him in the heart, you know? Well, that's what you do. You know, you stab him in the heart. That's what, you know, the wokey people don't like that. You get the people all nervous. They're going to get nervous because they're going to look at all the killing and all that. But which brings me back to the point, which I was saying, when you don't see animals and people being killed because it's purposely kept from you. I'm not talking about gory, like, no, I'm talking about justified killings, killing animals, killing human beings in war, killing human beings with capital punishment on TV for everybody to see is normal in this world. Because when you don't do that, you're living in a fantasy world. You're presenting a world where nobody gets killed, nobody dies, nobody sheds blood. And if it does happen, we don't show it to our kids so they don't really believe it's happening. So we put on our virtual reality headset. It's called the Utopia headset, Paradise. And no one gets killed, you're living in peace, nothing happens, and you're living in a fake world. It's fake. We're living in a dead world where people die because of our sin, and now animals die. And they're trying to hide that from you. And they had the other day, they were showing these executions at the Hamas guys when they killed those 25 people. And they said, big warning before they showed you, warning, what you're about to watch is going to be very disturbing to some people. And I went, good, good. I'm going to see them blow their brains out. Yeah, I'm looking at this from like a positive perspective. Let me see what they did, you know. And you see where they had them lined up with the, and they had the guns behind it. So I went, good. I said, this was on BBC or something. I went, wow. I don't know if it was BBC, but anyway. And they're telling you, watch out. Get your kid out of the room if you don't want to watch. It's very dangerous. And I'm waiting to see it. It was blurred out. Mm-hmm. You didn't see anything. I mean, you didn't see nothing. You didn't even see, you could hardly see the guy. The whole thing was blurred out. I said, I didn't see nothing. I didn't see anything. Who's going to go crazy over that? We're living in a mush cake world is what I'm telling you. And when your children see people get killed for witchcraft, they see the citizens get killed for obstinate, inveterate, unrepentant adultery. And for murder, and they see them being fried on an electric chair, hung up on a scaffold, drawn and quartered, and your kid sees that, puts fear in them. That's what makes a society law and order. When you have just punishments and killings, and people also look at it and the kid realizes, guess what? We're not living in paradise. There's a penalty for sin. There's a penalty for crime. I was just thinking about this. Look at how we hide this from people. You know, some, that little picture, Sal, with that little javelina, people are going to go nuts. Some people are going to look at that and say, oh, they're shooting animals out there. Then we have some people say that we're killed. They thought we were sacrificing the animals, all right? We said, we're not sacrificing, and that's the Old Testament. Yeah. But people, you kill a chicken and people go nuts. In New Jersey, a guy killed a rat and they went crazy on him because he killed a rat. I mean, you understand what we're talking about? This is an illusion where I was just... people think we're living in paradise. You know, you could, if you can, and we've done that, really. We're living in a virtual reality world, is what I'm saying. Where, and you know, it's like, if they ever want to show anybody killing anybody, it'll be like maybe the bad guy killing somebody. But the United States never kills anybody, but we kill more people than anybody killed anybody. I mean, it's the lamb. It looks like a lamb, but it's a lion. She's a monster. We went into Iraq, Iran. We dropped bombs on people. We never showed the result. Go down and take a look at the people. You're blown. I'm not against killing people. You see what I'm trying to say, though? But we got, when the Passion movie came out with Mel Gibson, they got bent out of shape. Kids had to go to, another thing I was thinking about, all these military guys, it's amazing all the stuff they went through. I'm just thinking about King David and anybody, I'm not chilling a hun, anybody who fought wars. And did they come back with PTSD syndrome? You know what I mean? Like PTSD syndrome? Oh, I'm never going to be the same. Joshua and Caleb. After Caleb went into his first battle and Kenny came out, he was a ball of nerve. Oh, he's all messed up. He went and he ate his meal and said, that's it. But it was something else too. They were talking about somebody, or I forget who it was. And all these... But this is a modern thing, by the way, this PTSD syndrome. You did have shell shock, and you did have people in war normally can get frizzled. That's a normal kind of a thing. This is something new. It's like it's an intrinsic thing that gets into you, and you're messed up for the rest of your life. It's a bunch of crybabies, what I'm saying, a bunch of cowards. You're not even fighting anymore. The war's over, and you're still going. And you're making money off of it. It's a wimpy world. We're living in a world where they're trying to tell you we have already came close to paradise. And that's why people will tell you. I was just rereading that slavery book because Sister Andrea pointed out a correction I needed to make in there. And but I got some powerful stuff in there. I'm looking at these anti-popes. They were saps. One guy was trying to say, well, the reason we don't have it today is because we're much more moral and we're much more civilized and we're living in a bit better civilization. I went, what? We're much more moral. We're much more civilized. We've progressed to the point where we're in utopia. Even when parents or people die, they don't want to show the kid the dead body. Or they fix him up in the, you know, they put the makeup on. They do their nails. Yeah. And they're laying there like, oh, he looks so good. Yeah. He looks good.
You get against of that in the movie.
Yeah, they're right.
The Exorcist movie.
They're right.
They're right, yeah.
They're right. Yeah, when he's making up the... Yeah. They get doing the nails.
Yeah, they're painting nails.
He looks better than he did in about 10 years.
Yeah.
He's dead. Don't show the kid the blood. The Passion movie, don't show the blood. They can't even look at a movie when they're stabbing people. And that's why if you're going to do a really good movie and violence is necessary for the scene, show it. That's why I like the Rome movie. That's why I like The Passion. Show the blood. What do you want? You're lying to your kids. You're lying. You're condemning the consequence of original sin, which is death, pain, suffering, blood. Why did God have them shed the blood of animals and kill them? Because you can have no forgiveness or remission without the shedding of blood. You're living in a dead world. Death came into the world. And God's always reminding you of this. He's reminding you of this. He's reminding you that you're not in utopia. You're not in paradise, no matter what these humanitarian goofballs try to tell you. These peaceniks. You know these peaceniks? If they ever really saw somebody get killed, I think they'd die from a heart attack. You won't even have to, you want to kill the peaceniks and the hippie peacenik freaky people like that? Just force them to watch an execution. They'll take care of it for you. They'll all have heart. By the time it's done, they'll all be dead. You ain't got to touch them. They'll be panicking. They'll be twitching. And they'll all get heart attacks and they'll be dead by the end of the movie. Okay, take them out. It's crazy.
The Patriot movie where he took his two sons out to kill those soldiers, those English, and they were shooting them in the head as they were walking along. They were young kids, and he was showing them how to kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They weren't afraid of killing.
Judges 3:2. Open your Bible and read it. Train up thy children to war that they may learn to fight with their enemies. That's God speaking to his chosen people back then. Our people, the true faithful Jews. Only Catholics now are God's chosen people. We fulfilled, and they're our brothers, right? And that's what our Lord said. Train up thy people to war, you know. And what do we got? It's just weird. I don't know what brought it to mind, but I think that thing I watched when they were blurring it. I went, they don't show anything. What happened to your grandfather? Oh, he had to go away for a while. You know, the Lord took him. Yeah, but what happened? He died. Or how did he die? You know, a real young kid. You got, why hide these things from people? But in other words, if the opposite's happening anyway. We're living in a world where, in spite of the fact that they're trying to hide this from you, they're committing atrocities that have never, like what they did with in Dresden, they're doing now in Gaza. I don't care if they deserved it, but they don't. This, when it's not justified, it's evil. When it's not a justified killing, and that's murder, what they're doing there in Gaza, because God doesn't condone that. Sometimes he condones certain things like that, but the thing is, we pretend that we don't do nothing like that. That we're the good guys. Look, the Allied powers in World War II are the most vicious monsters that ever existed. Way more vicious than the Germans and the Japanese. Take a look what they did to Dresden when they leveled the place. What's it called? Hellstorm? Yeah. You just take a look what they did, okay?
Go to my St. John the Baptist website, click on the politics page, and go to Hitler's Germany, and they'll go down to where you see Hellstorm, and click on the OL, and that will take you into the video on Hellstorm.
So, they don't show anybody being killed. And, like I said before, we're not talking about these gore blood movies where they glorify blood and it's shown in a stupid way. It's got to be, if it's shown, like watch the Rome movie. And they're fighting. The worst thing is when you watch these movies and they have swords that aren't even, it's like, they're not even, and you go, it's goofy. It's like, it's not real. It's not real. But this is the heresy that says man evolves and becomes holier and purer just by time. So we're now at the stage where the church followers, the apostles, they were barbarians. They were stupid. We're much smarter. We're much more humane, peaceful. That's why these don't, these are like Brother Augustine said, because they're humanitarians, peaceniks. They are trying to create utopia and paradise in this world without God, without his commandments, and in spite of the fact that these bastards are going to die. If you think it's just us human beings here, then it's why do anything? Who cares? Who cares if you spent your whole life bringing peace upon earth? Your ass dies and you're gone. Ain't going to do you no good. If you're a agnostic or an atheist and you think you just disappeared, you don't exist, so what good did it do you? What good? What, who cares? Worse, when they find out what really happens is, you like these nominal Catholics, so they do believe in heaven or hell, although they don't believe nobody goes to hell anymore. What happens when that guy goes to hell and he realizes all the stuff he did, now he's damned?
Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul?
So you're trying to bring a power that you're trying to be God Almighty. You're going against God's commandments. You're trying to tell us that this world's already, Christ already came. We're living in paradise, and we're going to make it. We're going to do this thing. We're going to bring this peace. Our Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace but the sword. Matthew 10:34.
Do not think I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword.
I came for divisions. But this is what happens in the modern humanitarian Freemasonic illusion that the devil's put down upon people, which started since the Renaissance even, since the Great Apostasy, you know? Idolizing the world. I just read the thing on slavery. These apostate popes were bad. Yeah. They were bad. They were bad on so many points, it's beyond comprehension. The wimps that they were. We had a couple wimps in here like that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the one wimpy, two of them in particular, you know? I don't want to mention his name here, but they're wimps. If you say that all slavery is intrinsically evil, what you're saying again is we're in paradise. There's no punishments. God doesn't punish people with slavery. Since when? Since when? Read the scriptures. Read what you're worthy of. Read what he does to certain obstinate evildoers when they're so bad he brings them into slavery. His own chosen people went into slavery in Babylon and Assyria. And God ordained it because they were evil and it was a punishment to them.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website and go to the books menu. Go to the RGMI books and go down to Justified and Unjustified Slavery.
But if you think we're living in utopia and we've evolved to the point where we're so great, and that's what these antipopes are saying.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely condemning the dogma of slavery is not intrinsically evil. It's there's a good and a bad slavery. They're actually condemning all the past popes and churches, Gregory the Great, Justinian Code. They're all talking about how slaves should be treated, how slaves got to go back to their masters, make sure the slave obeys, make sure the slave doesn't do this. If this guy's a slave and you're going to free him, make sure you did free him before you can make him a clerk. Slavery was a part of life. It's always still part of life here. As long as we're living in this fallen world, God, there's a justified slavery that God ordains. And that's the end of it.
Yep.
These bastards are giving the illusion that they really, the utopian people, and this is not the religious Jews that are, even the Talmudic Jews and the Muslims are not like that. Because they know it's bullshit. It's for the agnostic, atheistical kind of people that don't believe in God or they don't believe there's a personal God that cares about the world. So they got to make something better. So the devil makes you, he fools these people by making you think that you're the ones who are going to bring the paradise. And there's a lot of people that fall into that category. Now you got the other people like us religious people. We only have the true religion, but from a religious perspective, people who do believe that this world's evil and there's a combat, well, that's at least they're being more honest. You know, the Talmudic Jew thinks he's got God on his side. The Muslim thinks he's got God on his side. And we know we have God on our side. And we all fight for the everlasting kingdom. We don't mind about killing people. Those people are not as bad. I mean, they're bad, but the Talmudic Jew and the Muslim, not us, because we got the true God. But at least they believe that and killing. These agnostic, atheistical kind of people, there's a lot of them, they sit back and these hippie peacenik people are bad. The guy in Rome. We got the true God on our side. This guy, who's he guy? He's got the teddy bear God. He turned the Catholic God into a teddy bear. He thinks he did. You can't change God. We have him. The God he's preaching is a mush cake. What I'd love to do to these people. What I'd love to do to this guy. On TV, too. I would take him out of a torture. I would torture him every day. Then have a doctor heal him. So he doesn't die. And then do it all over again. And on TV. And keep smacking him around a couple times. You know, here's another thing. As long as the guy's alive, he has a chance to convert. And I talked about slavery was used by God to even try to convert people. Yep. Most of the time, he was punishing them to make them come to the realization that, and to search for God and to be civilized. Sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was a pure punishing slavery. But most times, as long as you're alive, this is the things that converts people. When you're punishing when they do something wrong. When he knows they've done something wrong, you did something wrong and you shouldn't do that. If there's no punishment and there's no penalty, why? Who cares? You treat me the same as I was when I wasn't doing it. So there's no penalty for it. You keep telling me not to do it or else what? Well, or else nothing. No punishment, no penalty. You see what they're doing? So even getting rid of the death penalty. What is it? You got people that murder people out there. They rape women and they rape little boys, pedophiles, and they're not being killed. This should be done on TV. On an electric chair that's a little defective so the hair catches on fire. You know? Bing, the head pops off maybe. The blood vessels come off. People need to see this. Oh, it's so bad. You know, like even in some of these movies, when you can tell when they hold back, they don't show the blood. Mm-hmm. You know? It was it like even Jesus Nazareth was a good movie. But when it came to the passion, you want to talk about a bloodless passion, right? Yeah. A bloodless passion. What a wimpy world. Getting back to the soldiers again. At least they're not wimps. Well, they were like recently, like under the Democrats. You know, allowed to put hands on the guy. Pop, pop. Now maybe you get tough again. Yeah. But it's an amazing that the Freemasons really particularly were involved in this, and the colleges and humanitarian sciences and all this, that we are creating a much better, more peaceful world. You know? Where, and look what goes on, even with the peaceniks, right, in their own homes. The ones that claim they're vicious. They're vicious. They fight in their own homes. They like cats scratching their eyes out, you know, when they go at it with one another. You see them. The very peaceniks that tell you about peace, push them the wrong way and watch what they do. Go into their home and see how mentally disturbed they are. They're disordered. They're whacked out. That's why you got all these psychiatrists and psychologists. Now we're going to get some Bible verses that have to do with seeing blood and death and how death came upon us and all these evils when Adam and Eve sinned against God. We're going to start out at Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. And to Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat, cursed is the earth in thy work. With labor and toil shalt thou eat thereof all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the earth. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and to dust thou return. There's a death penalty for all mankind who are guilty of original sins, since Adam and Eve sinned against God. There's the death penalty. And then St. Paul speaks about it in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And all men know that, empirical evidence before you, people die. That's our penalty, it's a punishment that God put upon us when we sinned against him. And even if you're in a state of grace and you're a very good Catholic, we all got to die because of that penalty. Okay, so that's death. We're living in a world of death. If your soul's saved, you'll eventually get your body back and be saved, but God still requires you to die in this world. So here's the God's decree that everybody who's guilty of original sin, even if the original sin is remitted, you're still going to die. Now, we're going to read about the way God made our sins to be forgiven was in the Old Testament, you had to offer up an animal sacrifice and you had to kill it and you had to shed his blood and you would sprinkle his blood around. And this is how your sins will be forgiven during the Old Covenant era. During the New Covenant era, Jesus Christ instituted the Holy Sacrament of Mass, which represents his passion when he died on the cross, and then our sins are remitted. So you needed to shed blood to get your sins forgiven, okay? And we read about this in Leviticus 4:13, 32-35 during the Old Covenant era. But if thou offer the flock of a victim for his sins, to wit, a ewe without blemish, he shall put his hand upon the head thereof and shall emulate it in a place where the victims of Holocaust are wont to be slain. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and shall touch the horns of the altar of the Holocaust. And the rest he shall pour out at the foot thereof. All the fat also shall be taken off, as the fat of the ram that is offered for peace offerings is wont to be taken away, and shall burn it upon the altar for a burnt sacrifice to the Lord, and he shall pray for him and for his sin, that it shall be forgiven him.
see the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you.
So, God's showing you that we're living in a dead world. Things bleed. And back then, he actually said, either I'm going to kill your firstborn or you are going to kill an animal in your place. I'll kill an animal instead and spare you, and that's how I'm going to have your sins be forgiven. You confess to the high priest. The animal gets killed. They take his blood and they sprinkle it around. That's how your sins were forgiven under the old covenant era. During the new covenant era, when Christ died on the cross, our sins are now remitted through his death on the cross, his blood, his sacrifice. We read about when St. Paul says in Hebrews 9:22, he says that all things according to the law are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Christ, this is Romans 8:5-9, what Paul says, Christ died for us much more, therefore, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. And his shedding of the blood is what actually remitted our sins. They were only forgiven during the old covenant era, but they were still inside them. They still had the guilt, they had it inside them, but they were forgiven, but they were covered up. During the new covenant era, when Christ died on the cross and shed his blood as the ultimate sacrifice, he made it possible for our sins to be remitted and blotted out, the punishment over our sins to be remitted and blotted out, and so we can go to heaven and be perfect.
The original Paschal sacrifice offered during the Passover was a figure of Christ in the form of a spotless lamb sacrificed to God, whose blood was put on the doorposts of the faithful. This protected them from the plague which God sent upon Egypt, in which the firstborn of all the unbelievers were killed. When God's avenging angels came to the door of the faithful and saw the blood, they passed over the house. See Exodus chapter 12.
And with this last plague, the Lord will break the Pharaoh's conceit and teach us the terrible price of freedom. Mark well now what I say to you. On the 10th day of this month, each family will take a yearling lamb without blemish. You will watch over this lamb until the 14th day of the month, at which time the entire assemblage of Israel will gather. And at twilight on that day, you will slaughter the lamb. Take some of the lamb's blood and put it on the doorposts of your houses. The lamb's blood will be a sign. When the Lord sees the blood, he will pass over you, and you will not be harmed when he strikes the land of Egypt. You will eat of the lamb the same night. It must not be raw or cooked with water, only roasted. And you shall eat it with your clothes on your back and your staff in your hand. You will not take time to leaven your bread. This will be known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you will eat this Passover offering hurriedly. For at midnight the Lord shall go forth among the Egyptians, and the Lord will punish the gods of Egypt. But the blood on the houses where you are will be a sign. For when he sees the blood, he will pass over you.
While the blood of the Paschal Lamb granted physical protection to the faithful, and the blood of the other animal sacrifices forgave their sins, that blood could not remit sins and thus could not give them total spiritual freedom from the devil. That is why the elect who died during the Old Covenant era went down and not up, went down to the limbo of the fathers, also called Abraham's bosom, which was the highest level of the underworld, and could not go up to heaven. Only the sacrificial blood of the ultimate sacrifice, which fulfilled and ended the animal sacrifices, could do that. And that was the sacrificial blood of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which did that by not only making it possible for sins to be forgiven as they were during the Old Testament era, but now also remitted and abolished, which thus enabled the elect to go up and to not go down, to go to heaven, to pass over to heaven, the ultimate Passover.
So shedding the blood is necessary for salvation. Now, we read also about Abel and Cain. We know the story about Abel and Cain when they made offerings to God. Abel offered up, he was like, he took care of animals. They call him, with the word, he was a, I'm going to read it here and then I'll explain it. But this is from Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and who conceived and brought forth Cain, saying, I have gotten a man through God. And again, she brought forth his brother Abel. And Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a husbandman, like vegetables and fruits. And it came to pass after many days that Cain offered of the fruits of the earth, gifts of the Lord. Abel also offered of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat, and the Lord had respect of Abel and to his offerings, but to Cain, in his offerings, he had no respect, and Cain was exceedingly angry with his, and his countenance fell. You see, Abel offered up a living animal and killed it and shed his blood for Christ. Cain is only offered up some vegetables. God requires the death. It was meek. It wasn't the kind of sacrifice Christ wanted. He wanted Abraham to offer up his son Isaac even. He was ready to do that for God. All right? And then God held him back. He offered up an animal. So Abel's offering up the proper sacrifice we need in this fallen world was to kill an animal and shed its blood to get your sins to not just forgiven, but you would also have animal sacrifices to get favors from God. Peace offerings. But Cain, all he offered up was a cabbage maybe and a couple of vegetables and stuff. He was a vegetarian, really. Think about the veggies. This condemns the vegetarians today. They think all killing animals is evil. They see you kill an animal here, they go nuts. Oh, he killed an animal! You kill a rat and they'll kill you. I went over, this is a lecture that I spoke about this about, right? So here God was respecting Abel's sacrifice of offering up an animal by killing it and having his blood shed. And he was condemning Cain, who just offered up some vegetables and fruit. Now we also read about God's law that when you murder somebody, you shed blood, now your blood's going to be shed. And this is God's commandment. Injustice also, this is out of justice, and a deterrent for future crimes. And we read about this in Numbers 35:33. Defile not the land of your habitation, which is stained with the blood of the innocent. Neither can it otherwise be expiated, but by his blood that had shed the blood of another. You have to kill the murderer with the death penalty, or you're going to defile the whole land because God's going to be angry at you for not wreaking this justice upon the murderer. And then murder's going to spread out. All kinds of sins are going to occur. There's the death penalty right there. There's blood. Blood must be shed. You shed innocent blood, I'm going to shed your blood. Two of us are shedding blood. One did it unjustly, I'm doing it justly. It looks the same, but I'm right, he's wrong. People don't like looking at blood at all anymore. They don't want to see any kind of blood. They think, first of all, they pretend that no one's murdering anybody. And then when somebody punishes the murderer, at that point, they condemn that guy too. Even worse than the person who did the murder. So you see, God requires blood for blood. We read about this too, and this is one of my readings when I was going over this, which was yesterday. It was today's reading. But anyway, it's a Bible reading, my daily Bible reading. It's Ezekiel 23:47-29, how God punishes people when they sin. By death and shedding of their blood. There's so many Bible verses. We got like thousands. This just happened to be one I was reading the other day. But for thus saith the Lord God, bring a multitude upon them and deliver them over to the tumult of rapine. These are chosen people that are evil. And let the people stone them with stones. And let them be stabbed with their swords. Let them kill their sons and daughters. And their houses shall be burnt with fire. And I will take away the wickedness out of the land. And all women shall learn not to do according to the wickedness of them. And they shall render your wickedness upon you. And you shall bear your sin, the sins of your idols. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. And there's death, punishment, banishment, men, women, children. And we talk about what's going to happen in the final days when God sends his angels to gather the wicked from the four quarters of the earth. And he gathers them in Kidron Valley and he kills them and sheds their blood. It says this is Apocalypse 14:19-20. And the angel thrust in his sharp sickle into the earth and gathered the vineyard of the earth and cast it into the great press of the wrath of God. And the press was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the press to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. How's that for a lot of blood, huh? How's that for blood? All right, and see, and this is another wonderful verse which I like here too, because he talks about when the just people who are holy and just to God, which we pray we are, we rejoice when that happens. We thank God for that. What do you think when they're praying for God, avenge our avenge us upon earth, the wrong that they've done to us and to your church and to your faithful people? So King David speaks about this in Psalm 57:11. The just shall rejoice when they shall see the revenge. And he shall wash his hands in the blood of the sinner. Again, blood of the sinner. I don't know if I want to wash my hands in his blood, but what it means, you can have blood all over your hands from killing people. And you're going to rejoice at it, too. Oh, if I had to poop in here right now, I would rejoice. I'd clean my hands right away afterwards, though. I would clean them with and put Clorox on and all that, but I'd get blood all over me. This Rich has got blood all over him. Like in that Rome when Verinus went in there with the blood all on him and he was killed a guy in the tavern. He goes, Fulvio, Fulvio, what's going on down there? He goes, Fulvio's not coming. Fulvio's not coming.
Fulvio, tell us them scars to shut that up. You want us fight, take it outside.
If you can,
come on
in. Flavio! Useless. You have my children. You have my children.
Hey, talking about?
You have my children.
Someone's misled you, friend.
Where are they?
I don't know.
Flavio!
Flavio's not coming.
Here we are, then.
Where are they? Where are my children?
Will you have a little wine with me?
No?
Well,
tell him. If they're not harmed, you may yet live.
You think so?
Tell him.
Nothing like a good Falernian grape, is there? You're not a bad sort of man, Verinus. You just have too much anger in you.
Tell him!
I took your children in payment for your many slights to me. Then I killed them. Then I threw them in the river.
God. Also, and here's our Lord, and I just end this our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 19:27. He says, this is Jesus Christ speaking.
As for those my enemies who would not have me rule over them, bring them hither and kill them before me.
So let that be enough for you wimpy, sappy people that are afraid of blood, of death penalties and just punishments and just killings. You got a lot of saps out there. They accuse you of being guilty of bloodlust, or you're like a blood... I do want blood. I want the blood of the unjust. I want them to be shed. I want them to die. I want the death penalty on them. And God doesn't only kill them on this earth, has them be killed and die. They go to hell forever where they're suffering the worst pains you can ever imagine. All kinds of pains to everyone in their senses with everlasting fire. So get away from me, you wimps that are afraid to look at blood and death. The whole world, and the West especially, is full of wimps. Little wimpy, effeminate boys and girls and men and women. Men and women are to be manly. It's in the Bible. Be manly. Men and women. Manly. Joan of Arc killed people. Judith cut off the head of Holofernes. Stop with these people, with these little faggot people that sit around and are afraid of blood. We had one guy in here, and we were talking about corporal punishment, and he was another wimp. And he says, well, you mean if you're going to give your kids corporal punishment, is it enough to just slap them on the hand? Like a slap? I don't want people like that with me. I'll give you a slap in the face. Then I'll give you a punch in the face. Then I'll break your arm and I'll maybe cut your fingers off. That's what I'm going to do to you. They think, you know, what's going to happen to these wimpy people? When they start seeing people dying like that, they're going to die from heart attacks. You don't have to, I said that, they're going to just die from heart attacks. You don't have to worry about it. They're going to just die. Imagine, let alone when it starts happening to them. They think again we're living in paradise. That's what they think. So there's a few Bible verses to back that up.
Go to my St. John the Baptist website, click onto the videos menu, lectures, RGMI lectures, do the find feature and type in Just War, and go to my video lecture titled On Just Wars, Faith Before Race, Pure Ream, Apostasy, Pope Pius XII, and Exploding Body. And that's in, you click on that and you're going to get the video right there. I end this lecture with a video clip entitled March of the Conquistadors in honor of Cortez and all the holy conquistadors who were like the Maccabees and conquered the Americas for the Holy Catholic Church, for Christ the King, and for Mary the Queen.
Strong hearts of stone, across the sea we came so far, guided by the northern star. Ships on the horizon, steel and fire, men with hearts of iron, reach for higher, raise the cross high, underneath the azure sky, save the souls and hear the cry, for the faith we live and die. In the jungle city great, Aztecs knew their brutal fate. Through the storm we walked through fire, for a faith that won't expire. Aztec sons are fallen, empire fades. Echoes of the calling in the glades. Raise the cross high, underneath the azure sky. Save the souls and hear the cry. Night, echo and roar, ghostly warriors fight, lost to law. Raise the cross high, underneath the azure sky, save the souls and hear the cry, for the
the faith we live and die. Towers fall and temples burn. In their eyes the truth they learn. Cries rise up to the sun. In this battle we have won. Cortez stands tall, eyes fixed ahead. Answering God's call, Montezuma is dead. Raise the cross high, underneath the azure sky. Save the souls and hear the cry. For the faith we live and die. March on the conquistadors, for Jesus Christ we wage these wars. March on the conquistadors, for Jesus Christ we wage these wars. March up the conquistadors, for Jesus Christ we wage these wars. March up the conquistadors, for Jesus Christ we wage these wars. March up the conquistadors, for Jesus Christ we wage these wars.